The third annual open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act is underway, and for those seeking coverage starting in January of 2016, there's only a few more weeks to take action. But since healthcare.gov went live, there's one group of Americans that's been reluctant to sign up for plans: young people.
The success of the ACA depends on young, healthy people signing up for healthcare plans, but a variety of factors, including cost, has kept many from getting coverage. So is there anything that can be done to change that?
Justin Sidnor joins us now. He's an economist and associate professor at Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. Justin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how important are young people to the success of the Affordable Care Act?
They're important, but it's also important not to overstate their importance. The way the system is designed is that having enough young people in helps to keep the average cost of all the plans down. And the way to think about it is that typically a 64-year-old is going to have about five times as much health spending as a 21-year-old. But in the Affordable Care Act, it's designed so that those 64-year-olds only pay about three times more than the 21-year-olds. So having those 21-year-olds in there, and in general anybody under the age of 34, is important to hold down the average cost of plans.
Well, we've heard a lot about how important young, healthy people are to the success of the Affordable Care Act, and you're saying, yeah, they are important, but they're maybe not as important as we sometimes might tend to overstate it. Why is that?
Yeah, well, the way to think about it is that there is this underlying health gradient even in the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, one thing to know is that there's, you know, the older people are paying about three times more than the younger people for their plans. Mostly estimates suggest that if younger people were signing up at rates equal to what the older individuals are, that it would probably reduce the overall costs of the plans by about 2%. And that's a big number, but it's not catastrophic to the way the ACA works. And it's important to remember that about 28% of the people who are signing up for plans are in the younger category. It's just that it should be about 40% if they were signing up as often as everybody else.
Okay, now that we've got all that out on the table, what are the biggest factors that might stop younger people, healthy people, from getting coverage?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of things. So the first is, I think, an unawareness of what's available out there. And I think that's especially relevant for younger people who have lower incomes. For instance, if you work full-time as a single individual and you make, say, $11 an hour or less, the subsidies that are out there for you actually make the health insurance a really good deal. And I think most of the people who aren't signing up who are in that group are probably just unaware of just what they could get. And surveys show that many of them haven't actually looked at the healthcare.gov system. So there are many people who don't understand what's available. So that's one group. The other reason, though, is, you know, many people cite high costs. And I think that's a true thing. It's important to recognize that for other people making a little bit more money, so for instance, if you're working full-time and you're making, say, $15 an hour or more as an individual, you're going to have to pay the full cost of your health insurance. And that's going to run somewhere between $1,500 to $2,500 for the year for a bronze or a silver plan. So let's call that about $2,000 a year. And for many people, I think that $2,000 a year is a very big number for them to wrestle with, and they haven't necessarily budgeted for that as part of their yearly spending.
Right, and one critique of the barriers to coverage is that the plans can still be confusing to some people, especially maybe younger people who might not be familiar with the jargon. A recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article quoted a young woman who said she could handle the insurance, but her deductible was pretty big when she had a medication that she needed. So the idea there, maybe she had the wrong plan. Maybe she could have been on a more cost-effective plan. So could the Affordable Care Act or the government have done a better job of helping people navigate the plans?
So I think the answer to that is definitely yes. And things are moving in this direction of giving people better information about what the plans really cover and what to expect. But all the evidence we have so far is that right now, health insurance as it's currently structured and the way that the exchanges work is very complicated and very hard for most people to understand. But I also think there's an important thing in what that young woman said that that's worth thinking a bit about. And, you know, what she was highlighting there was that to her, the health insurance really didn't seem very valuable because she was still having to pay these high costs that she didn't fully understand for things like prescription drugs. And I think one thing to note is that most of the plans that people will be buying on the Affordable Care Act exchanges are really the types of plans that you should think of as covering you for really bad financial outcomes if you get very sick. And they're offering less valuable coverage for what you might call more modest sickness. Most of the plans have very high deductibles. So it's really important to think about the value they provide is if you get very sick and you run up $50,000 worth of hospital bills, and they just aren't actually all that valuable for a modest level of routine needs.
We're talking with Justin Sidner right now, economist and associate professor at the Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. We're talking about some of the reasons why young people may not be signing up under the Affordable Care Act and what's at stake there. And Justin, as someone who looks at risk management, what's the economic argument for someone to buy maybe a $200 a month plan when they hardly ever go to the doctor?
Yeah, so this is actually a classic place where economists and, let's call it, everyone else think very differently. So most people struggle with the idea of insurance because it feels often like they're not, you know, quote, getting anything for their insurance. So for a lot of people, the idea of paying a premium every month and then with very high likelihood not actually using it or getting something from the insurance is very painful. For an economist, though, the way we think about this is that if I buy one of these insurance plans, I'm going to pay my $200 a month. And what I'm protecting myself against, really, is that about 1 in 20 chance, if I'm a healthy young person, I'd have about a 1 in 20 chance of something really bad happening during the year that might rack up, say, $50,000 worth of insurance bills. And so the economic argument is that it's worth paying that, call it $2,000 for the year for sure, to avoid the possibility of a $50,000 loss, because that $50,000 hit is something that's going to more dramatically change your life. You're likely to be in debt for a very long time. It may postpone your ability to buy your first house if you're a young person. And so the negatives of that large $50,000 expenditure far outweigh the regular safe expenditure of $2,000. So that's the economic argument, but it doesn't often feel intuitive to a lot of people.
And then there's the penalty for not signing up, and that is actually going up some this year. Does it need to go higher, do you think, in order to get more young people to sign up?
I actually think it's getting close to the point where it's going to really impact many younger people to signing up. So, for instance, this year the individual penalty for not purchasing a plan is $700 for the year. And if you think about it, many of these younger people could have a fairly decent catastrophic plan, a bronze plan, that would cover in these events of really large hospital costs. And that plan will cost about $1,500 for the year. And so if you consider either paying $1,500 for the year and having insurance against really big losses, plus some coverage for routine preventative care, or paying $700 in a penalty for which you get nothing, I think that calculation is going to start actually switching to the extent that people understand what's available to them, that they could have these $1,500 a year insurance plans, and that they understand what the penalty they're going to be facing is.
Justin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Happy to be on. Thank you very much.
That was Justin Sidner, economist and associate professor at Wisconsin School of Business at UW-Madison. He joined us to talk about some of the reasons why young people may not be signing up under the Affordable Care Act and what's at stake.